Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Jello, this is Jeff the Drunk, and you're listening to the Mobile Horror Companion. Whatever the fuck that is. Don't ask me to do this again. Fuck off.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger. Contrary to what you may hear later in this episode, my name is Carlos Danger. And the other guy, hopefully on my screen, he's above me. When it actually is released, I guess you'll be above me, but is Mr. Brian Spears, the co-host of the Mobile Horror Podcast.
Hello, hello.
Maybe that's what we can call it, just the Mobile Horror Podcast instead of Mobile Horror Companion.
Oh, yeah. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, mobile. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, it is Saturday, January 9th, 2021. I think this is our first episode of the new year, I guess, right? Because we did like a new year. We had an episode a week ago, but we recorded that like right before the first year.
Didn't we? Did we double up or?
We did a Christmas one. Yeah. That's right. You're right. Yeah, we did a Christmas right before Christmas. We recorded both of them, I think, or something like that. But anyway, we are now, and it's like it's official because I checked. I don't know what episode this is. Oh, I should have checked that before we went live. We got to be approaching 200
episodes. That's the beauty
episodes of
the podcast. That's the whole point of probably this is we want to be as professional as we can, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't know what episode number this is, but I do know it's year six, and it's definitely our sixth anniversary as a podcast. We definitely recorded our first podcast on January 16th, no less, 2016. So, and I guess it released January 28th around my birthday. Okay. So me and Brian were talking about, you know, what should we do as an episode? Neither of us have really watched any horror stuff or anything really over the last week or so. You know, it's just we've just been watching I think the rest of the nation, unless you're some kind of weirdo, you know, the attempted overthrow of the U.S. government. Other than that, I mean, you know, what else is there that's entertaining in its own darkly comic, albeit terrifying way?
And it was quite captivating that even you really felt like you're going to miss something if you watch a 2-hour movie. You know, I mean, I hate to say it like that. I was glued this week. So
It's taken a couple of days. I think like whenever all that happened, I think it was the 6th. I just started processing it last night, the 8th, in like a debate, of course, on Facebook with a mutual friend who, doesn't seem to understand or appreciate the gravity and the seriousness of what happened on the 6th. So I really did it for myself. I was just like, let me get my thoughts out on this. I don't care. I wasn't really looking to change anybody else's minds, but I needed to like process it because it really is like, I'm a god, you know. I was, you know, it's to state the obvious, I'm thinking Bill Burr at the beginning of his latest podcast, as this recording, he recorded one the day after the takeover, the siege of the U.S. Capitol. And Burr begins by saying like, oh, have you seen, it's so crazy, sort of mocking what we're doing right now, saying, can you believe this happened?
Yeah.
But seriously, can you believe this happened when we launched this podcast January 2016? Did we think that we'd elect a reality star president, a tabloid president? Do you think we would have, there was no predicting that we were going to elect a guy from our childhood, right? Growing up right outside New York City, a tabloid star, a guy who was on the New York Post all the time and the Daily News.
Like
Howard
literally
Stern
a
show.
Guy, I mean, I've known my whole life, you know, what seems like my whole formative years, you know, like maybe at 6, I wasn't paying attention to the news, but I remember him all the time, you know.
He was always around. It was like, oh yeah, that scumbag developer, ha ha ha. Like a Joey Buttafuoco. He was like one shelf above in terms of like the bottom shelf. He was like just above Joey Buttafuoco. So I thought we would go back. This is an experiment. My whole point at the beginning of all this was to say,
I'd rather talk about this than have to listen to our first episode.
We didn't have a topic, but then I was like, oh, wait a second. It is our sixth anniversary. Why don't we go back, listen to our very first episode of the Mobile Horror Companion from January 2016. And we may not listen to the entire thing, but let's go through it and we could stop and react. It might be embarrassing. It might be cringy. The podcast was started by me, Brian, and a guy named Joe Greenberg. I guess because you'll hear his voice. He left the podcast September 2020. He got busy.
Was it 2020? I thought it was...
Oh, 2019. Sorry. Yeah, it was the end of that transition.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the third voice you'll hear. And the idea for the podcast came from Joe. And he said, like, you know, guys, we go to these horror conventions all the time. And we talk about horror movies endlessly. And then new people come into the room. We talk about them. And the subject changes from movie to movie. Why don't we try a podcast of that? Because everybody does a podcast. And we kind of jumped at it, right? We kind of jumped at it, even though neither of us knew how to sort of do a recording or how to do any of this. You know, at the time for my
day, I personally love the idea. I still don't know how to run a podcast. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Your technical capability has somehow gotten worse over the 6 years. I can't figure it out. But at the time I think I was doing a live radio show in New Haven, Connecticut. This was the period where I would drive to New Haven every Monday for a local news show. But still, I had no idea. Like, it was totally amateur. I didn't know how to do any of this. But anyway, so I think I probably said enough. Why don't we just get right into it, Brian? And whenever somebody says get right into it, it's always 45 minutes into an episode. So I'm going to share my screen. We're on Zoom right now. I'm going to go to the Mobile Horror Companion. I'm going to shave that. And now I have to stop sharing it because I forgot to share the sound. Oh, no, it's good. So here we go. I don't know why it's sharing that. I'm very confused right now. I don't know what's going on. Did you just see my whole desktop?
Yeah.
All right. So that's like, all right, this is pictures from local news and a lot of local politicians who were sworn in this week. So screen share, I need to do this one. It's still amateur hours. 6 years later, we still have no idea.
But that is the beauty of this.
No idea what we're doing. Now, the music, the intro music, we try not to use anymore. I used it on the last episode for nostalgia because it automatically gets hit as a copyright on YouTube because it was stolen from The Ring, I think. So how's this? Is this all the way turned up? Can turn that up. And here we go.
Like it already. Yeah.
Well, the one thing about that music, it like set up this. This is going to be, I think, for like a Mobile Horror Companion. This sounds like it's going to be like spoken word horror. You know what I mean? Now, do you see on your screen a Facebook notification? Are they popping up?
Oh, well, somebody hit me. I had a Facebook notification, but yeah, that might have been open on my end too. That's not.
No. I just want to make sure it's not on my end that people see it. But anyway, so, but like it, we're like the opposite of what the music sort of insinuates. You know what I mean? We're just like two middle-aged guys talking about horror movies.
Well, also, all right, everybody, really, welcome to
Moody.
That's what I'm saying. You think it's going to be like us. You know, like Larry Fezzin in Glass Eye Picks, Pales Beyond the Pale. Like it's going to be like a professional 40s era spooky radio hour. It's not.
Episode one of the Mobile Horror Companion. I am Joe Greenberg, an independent filmmaker and screenwriter, and I also work in post-production in the Philadelphia, South Jersey area, and I am also an adjunct professor teaching screenwriting and advanced film production.
And I'm Eugene Driscoll. Somehow I've managed to stay employed.
I don't know who that guy is. It's Carlos Danger. Is it wrong to skip over myself? I guess that would
no.
Be,
I guess 16.
That would be wrong.
16 years.
Do I talk as long as Joe?
17 years old.
As long?
Yeah. I was doing the Howard Stern thing. I was talking over your response.
Reporter.
In case you wanted to kill it out.
For print publications in Connecticut, and now valleyindie.org, which is a nonprofit website covering.
Jesus, I gone for too long.
I talk Valley.
I'm Brian, and I'm proud to say a working makeup artist.
And what Joe was saying, he works at Princeton, and full-time job is the Girls Gone Wild video.
Oh, yes. Thank you for all that behind-the-scenes footage as well.
Oh, that's a bad joke. But one thing I've noticed is you can hear it was edited. These are the days we would actually edit. There might have been 10 minutes of banter, and it was just cut to that. So like we were sort of professional when we first launched.
You know, neither of those two things are true as much as I would like them to be. So yeah, here we are. Eugene, a journalist for the Valley Independent Sentinel. Brian is one half of GNSFX.
We just said this, but it's okay to
repeat. We just said all this.
We don't know. We had a script. We stuck to it.
The other half being the handsome Pete Gerner. And me, a post-production guy, adjunct.
Oh, we should probably, not that anybody cares, but the way we would do this was Joe would record his, we all record our audio separately. We would do it on a Google Hangout, and we would each record to Audacity separately, and then we would email our files, or we'd upload our files to a Google Drive document, and Joe would put them all together. Pretty labor intensive.
Also, we're doing a Zoom, or we've done them on Facebook Live or whatever, or Facebook Mess, whatever.
Facebook video. Live.
We never had it on video either. You know what I mean? We didn't really have cameras until maybe towards the end.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We would try it once in a while and it would kind of work, but it's become, that's one thing. The technology has become a lot easier than it was in 2016 to do this. Although, Zoom is whatever it is, $100.
But I really want to be a writer.
Really late at night. Like at least after, we'd probably say we'd start at 10, but they never started on time. Usually, I'm going to throw them under the bus. Usually because Joe
would be late. Well,
yeah,
a lot of times, though, we would start and you would have downloaded a virus on your PC
or you didn't know how to turn it on. Internet problems. That's why I'm saying let's start at 10 because I knew I'd have a half hour break myself. Like, so, sometimes we didn't record. We would record these at like midnight.
Right, we would start. Yeah, sometimes they would go to 2 a.m. We would record like 4 episodes at once in the beginning, and you can hear it because I don't know. We'll see how this sounds.
Director, when
I'm already not. So we're
I'm already bored. But hey, look, the beginning of this is much better and quicker than the beginning of this podcast we're recording right now, where we go on for 80 minutes about Donald Trump.
Well, the world is ending.
True.
All those things kind of happen. For the Mobile Horror Companion, what we were thinking was that we were just going to talk about a bunch of different topics that were sort of horror-centric that deal with, movies, TV.
By the way, how embarrassing is it that we've had 6 views on YouTube on this particular podcast? 6 views. It was uploaded a month after we actually recorded. A full year.
Probably for me.
Kind of what's going on out there. A little bit of culture, a little bit of life in general.
And today's Brian's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Happy birthday, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Which is sort of important for this podcast because the one thing is we're all of a certain age, right? So I don't know. We're kind of like a voice not often heard, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, because there's not enough podcasts or point of view from middle-aged white men, right? Good point, Carlos.
In the horror world, we're sort of old school, but not too old school.
We're not too old school. Well, I'm not.
Well, maybe were we on the cusp of podcasts 6 years ago? Was that?
No. The cusp of
middle
age.
Were we inventive?
What do you mean?
Was it?
No, podcasts were around. Yeah, no, it was like, I don't know when
I'm saying is for our old friends.
For our what?
Where we whoa, we're going to where the young guys are going, the podcast.
Because
I'll say this. We've had mutual friends, one of them a guest, our former, Glenn Baisley, you know, he would be like, oh, you're doing a podcast? How are you doing? You know, he would be asked, and he was supposed to be some technical genius, not thinking of, you know, a podcast. So were we,
maybe ahead of Glenn, but.
We're a little bit closer in what we like in movies. So I think we're a little bit more.
You hear the edit. This is edited. You can hear, like, that's edited. That wasn't your complete, we're editing.
80s, 90s, 70s, but we're not.
Well,
really
I am right there with you. Right, I will be 39 next month, and, you know, we're all kind of.
Yeah, but so you like cheesier movies.
Well,
look at that. I want to note for the record, the first guy to insult Joe's movie taste was you.
I
out of the blue. We're not even talking about a movie.
Put in the description all three of us are in the handsome cusp of middle age.
Beautiful. That's what I was trying to get across. Yeah, there it is.
One of the things that I guess would be a good way to start, and I think this would be a good conversation, is what is your favorite horror film? And I don't know, let's just talk about that.
Dawn of the Dead. Romero's Dawn of the Dead. I think it's a comic book movie with zombies.
Okay.
I think it's totally a comic book movie, and the way that has so many different genres in it. And it's just fun. And also, I should preface this.
I'd give a different answer
everything
today.
I'm going to base this podcast on.
What would you say today? You wouldn't say it's
I don't know, but it probably wouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, it might be. There'd be three or four of them, but yeah.
Or anytime I talk about horror movies.
Yo, just fast forward to Joe 13. So I can argue with Joe. It'll be like old times. We can read.
Let's give it 45 seconds.
To about 17, 18.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, about Dawn of the Dead, how it hits you when you're young.
So I was probably even on the cusp of 13, but that's when I saw it. So again, it had everything. It had everything in it. Blood, guts. The only thing it didn't have was boobs.
You saw it, you were about 12 or 13 years old. I'm sure you saw a lot of movies at that time.
Damn, one thing, Joe's audio is a lot better than ours.
Yes.
But there was something about Dawn of the Dead that stuck with you, that resonated with you. And my guess is if you were flicking around, it was on TV today, you'd probably watch the whole thing through.
He had like his professional filming mic. And we both had, I mean, I had a computer mic that you plug, you know, my tower.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had. I don't remember. I might have had, you know, not, no, actually, now that I think about it, I had a Blue Yeti mic, which looks like the thing like Letterman or Johnny Carson had on their desk. But in those days, I had it backwards. Like, it's the actual sound was coming. That's probably the humming that you hear is probably me.
Thought it was me breathing.
Well, that's always a thing. It is good to listen to yourself on some of these things. So that's one thing. I'm always like, but I think I was actually, my mic was facing my computer fan. So when I talk, that's why I'm kind of like, but with, you know, the fatal flaw probably of this first episode, but whatever, it's the first episode. You got to get it out of the way. But we talk about what's our favorite horror movie. And it's like, how many times can you talk about Dawn of the Dead, George Romero? You know what I mean? We're not exactly, you know, I talk about The Thing.
Yeah, I think the fault to all of, and maybe, you know, I mean, things changed since it started, but we always gave like a lengthy, like, diatribe when we probably should have been much shorter with our answers and more volley.
Like, yeah, we kind of do that thing, and it's still hard when you have like a bunch of people. Okay, now you talk for 10 minutes. Okay, next guy talk. Okay, next guy talk. Yeah. It's challenging.
The epic that scale movie, that of it. It's the scale. It's the fun of it. It's so fun. It's a good movie.
So now, but here's the interesting thing. You're a makeup effects artist. You're an accomplished makeup effects artist. You do very, very good work. What do you think of the makeup effects?
I don't think they're that great. Yeah. But I'm not watching that one.
Uh-oh, should I fast forward now? You're going to get yourself in trouble on the job.
Well, I don't care.
Joe's grilling you.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk about other movies throughout the course of this that I watch for makeup effects.
Although, let me ask you, you said you didn't think they were that great.
My God, I sound like I'm in a closet.
But when you first
The gore
saw
was.
It.
The gore was awesome. Like, heads blowing up.
All right, I'll skip ahead a little.
Again, I'm dating myself because we actually did that. But you can go out in the backyard and play And it would...
Every plot point from The Walking
Dead... But I think every
can be
zombie movie can trace...
To Dawn of the Dead, yeah.
Like, I mean, other people, purists will say Night of the Living Dead.
Still talking Dawn of the Dead.
But...
It's like, well, you know, we could actually... If we think about this for a minute, we could seal off this mall and we could do it. And that... The tone of that... Those couple sequences where they're going to get the trucks and they're sealing off the doors, they're going down, they're getting the guns.
I can't remember. Is Joe agreeing with you that is that his favorite horror movie? I think he goes for Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It never really gets dark there. It's lighthearted, even the music. And I mean, that score is, I mean, it's famous, but it's also terrible. It's, you know, weird 70s kind of synth, but from those of us who remember the late 70s, early 80s, that is what the mall sounded like. That felt real to me. I remember hearing horrible music in the mall that sounded like that shit.
And the other thing, and I think Brian touched upon this a little bit, but I, and Joe is too, concept of the shopping mall. I mean, you know, Brian and I grew up in the same town, and we're actually here right now in New
York. Oh, we were in.
Oh, wow.
We were at your house.
New York.
I was like, dude.
It was like semi.
I'm like, do I have a cold?
And I just remember when
It's like, yeah, we sound a little nasally.
First mall was built.
I just love because now that I, you know, I've used that blue microphone, the Yeti, so many times, I can totally. It's backwards. That's why I sound. It's just driving me nuts. Let me skip ahead. I'm gonna skip ahead a bunch because, like, I mean, one thing, like, we're just movie critics reviewing.
Listen, I'll say this. I'm a guy that, yes, I work in movies and TV, and I have a great, cool, awesome job. But I am the least. I'm a behind the scenes guy. When I do these things, it's like I do it live and I walk away. I mean, of course, I've listened to them. But yeah, I don't like, you know, I have that. That's my self-conscious thing. I probably secretly wanted to be an actor and I have too many insecurities. So even doing this damn podcast and having to listen to this is the worst right now.
It's killing you. I mean, it doesn't sound bad. We're all just, the three of us are just stating the obvious about Dawn of the Dead. There's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing in them. It's just white walls. There's nothing there. And they secure this mall and they go down and they just bring up all this shit. And they hang it on the walls and they decorate everything.
We're still talking.
Well, he's like really romantic. But I think I said I liked, you know, the head blew up. And Joe's telling me how he, the walls and how they're the paintings.
We're going through the whole movie.
Thing, and it's just, it's almost like,
well, we did this a lot. We did that kind of stuff a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, just feeling our way.
In a way, but at the end of that movie, like when they finally are making like a break for it, or, you know, they secure them all. Spoiler alert, Roger is, you know, killed after.
Spoiler alert, Jesus. I would hope they saw that.
Well, that's it, yeah. But, you know, Roger is killed, and then after that, it's like a slow transition, and then you just see it's this fully, like an over-furnished apartment. And that's when she's got the makeup, and she's, you know, looking at herself in the mirror, and she's putting the makeup on, and they're just, you had this feeling of they were just, you know, almost like, they gorged themselves on everything. They had everything they could possibly want, and they just hated themselves. Like, they were not living with all this stuff. And it wasn't until later that sunk in, that was the message about this overconsumption and consumerism and things like that.
All of the movies that he's done, especially...
edits it's gonna get.
Joe, what's your favorite?
My favorite...
That was 17 minutes on Dawn of the Dead.
John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982.
It's a science fiction movie.
It is I'm going to say dark sci-fi / sci-fi horror cross genre, whatever you want to call it. That is a horror movie. I want to say, you know, there's a couple reasons that I like it, and I watch it now as a genre fan. And of course, it's the makeup effects, and Rob Bottin's, you know, makeup is legendary in that. It's all practical. And not only that, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. Dean Cundey shot it, who, you know, was also the guy that shot Back to the Future and, you know, the first few Jurassic Parks, like a very accomplished cinematographer. And it, from a script point of view, I think it's great. And it also, I love movies that when you pick up, you feel like, I don't want to say well established, but there's something that's already going on that you're just finding about right now. And
you're walking in the middle of something.
But you're finding out the story. Like, you feel, your point of view, you feel like you're one of these guys. You're finding out everything as they're finding it out. on top of that, because there's a number of different movies that do that. Alien does the exact same thing. It works in the same way that The Thing does. But the personal resonance for me comes from...
Hey, wait a second. Do you think
the first
Joe
time
is
I
there
saw that
too?
Movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were coming. I don't... say that again, huh?
Do you think Joe was with us? Do you think we're all together, or is it just me and you?
No, from what I remember... Because I didn't know. I remember being at your house. There was one... I don't know if there was two different recordings. There was one time where we were on either side of a table in your living room. Joe was not there. He was definitely on. He was definitely in Jersey. And then there was another time where I went into like your closet,
yeah,
in a bedroom, and you were in the living room. It was one of those two times. But I can clearly hear like a computer fan. I don't, you know, it's either me or you. I think it's me. But yeah, no, Joe definitely wasn't there. He was. You know, we were all recorded to Audacity and sent it to him after.
Other flamethrower, more, you know, propane or whatever it is that they're using, and Gary comes in. He's like, "What are you talking about, MacReady? What did you burn Bennings? And Bennings is my friend. I've known him for all these years. He's my friend." And there's a
Joe does the whole movie.
Yeah, I gotta rewind it a little bit. What are we talking about?
They were cleaning out the supply room. Bennings gets caught. Windows sounds the alarm, and they go and they find Bennings. You know, they chase him down. He's got the weird hands, and Mac burns him. And then Mac goes back into the supply room to get like the other flamethrower, more, you know, propane or whatever it is that they're using. And Gary comes in. He's like, "What are you talking about, MacReady?
Who is Gary?"
I don't know now. I think he's the younger one. He had a mustache.
Okay.
You burn Bennings, and Bennings is my friend. I've known him for all these years. He's my friend. And there's a pause. You like my Gary impersonation there?
Oh, okay. So it must have been.
And there's like a pause, awesome. And MacReady's just looking.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention is that we're on video. We can see each other.
Oh, all right.
Looking at him, and he's pausing because he knows that, yes, Bennings was your friend. But my dad, at that moment in that pause, just said, "What are you even talking about this for? They have to burn the rest of them." And then right on cue, MacReady goes, "Got to burn the rest of them." And then after that, like, I started seeing like MacReady as my dad, and every single thing that he did in that movie, aside of being, you know, MacReady in that movie is either kicking ass or he's like heavily drinking in all of his downtime. And my dad is not a drinker by any means, but just the awesome stuff was very rooted in that blue collar common sense kind of thing. So there's this really high concept, this alien that could morph into you. And instead of, you know, taking the story in a way where they're trying to explain that or having you wrap your head around it, it's just what needs to be done, what needs to be done, what needs to be done. And that's very much my dad's approach. Yes, yes.
A very simple movie. Some people will say Jaws is a horror movie. I've always thought The Thing, the last thing it is a horror movie. To me, it's a Western.
I feel like you're just trying to piss Joe off here.
Yeah, I think so too.
You're trying to
It's a guy's movie. It's like blue collar guys movie.
Yeah, but you didn't think that when I first saw that movie as a kid, it made me sick to my stomach. I couldn't. I thought it was unpleasant.
Unpleasant
snuff film.
You're just trying to piss everybody off by saying The Thing isn't a horror movie.
Immerse at the directors, and film is obviously the director's medium. So it's a great cast that pulls us off, and there's not a weak performance by anybody in that movie. So I think it's both. You know, I think the bones of the story come from that screenplay, and that screenplay by Bill Lancaster is closer to the original material, which was a novella called Who Goes There. Okay. And
we're like a Wikipedia entry.
And, you know, it makes sense that it's all men down there. And if you take a movie like The Descent, which is an all-female cast, it makes sense that in that setting, in that story of how it comes out, it's all female. You don't feel like there's, in either of these two movies, that they're making some kind of point. My last thing about The Thing, before we move on from The Thing.
Ooh, that was an edit there. That was an edit. Yeah. One thing, like, looking back now and listening to this podcast, you can tell, like, this was Joe's baby. This was his idea.
Yeah.
He had a lot of movie talk to get out of him. You know, it's interesting to listen to because I don't remember any of this.
Well, again, it was more about the, I don't know, like, the feet, like, I don't know. a lot of adjectives. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
like, even like, I was waxing more poetically, you know, like.
It's a little, like, you it's, know what? Yeah, like term paper. It's like we're giving our term, we're presenting our term paper on the thing.
Yeah, like I want to say I probably had notes or I had something, you know, I was probably too drunk to read it, but at least like I probably read it before. And these are the points I want to get across when I talk about Dawn of the Dead. Like it just, it does sound, you know.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like this is the first time in our lives where we're talking about like the thing in a formal sort of formal setting when we're like, okay, people are going to listen to this.
Yeah.
What do I love about the thing? You know,
Gene, is just that when I first saw it, when I watched it on network TV, I saw a different version of the film than what the theatrical version or even what we saw on, you know, VHS or DVD, in that there was, I mean, obviously they had cut down, some of Rob Bottin's more extreme effect.
There's a movement going on and something's going on with me and you.
Where
somebody get out of a chair.
Norris's head sprouts the spider legs and crawls Skip away ahead. Like they've killed, and the monster's different than the Howard Hawks movie. It's they describe it as like this big carrot. And they electrocute it and kill it, and then they're on the radio and they're talking about how they've done this. And
I think the other thing in these days is Joe's a screenwriter at this point. This is before Joe went on to sell scripts.
Yeah.
And get an agent and all that, and he sold a script to a major studio. Like looking back and listening to this episode, he's got just all this stored into his head.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and it's just pouring out of him.
You know, it's
and listen,
like,
this is exactly what we would do in a hotel room, like word for word. But now I'm realizing, man, we went on for hours.
Yeah,
we probably still do, but I know we do shorter shows.
The thing, like when we're, I think like the horror convention movie talk is what happens is there'll be 6-7 people in a room, and one, you know, this will be a side conversation. Some of this, and then there'll be an argument about something else. You know, all these things. It's more like Robert Altman.
50s, so everything is like rah rah rah. America can figure anything out, and the guy's like, ah, yeah, you know, we got this thing, but you know, what you got to do is keep watching the skies. More could come. You know, like one of those.
We got another Joe. I didn't know Joe had that hidden talent.
Those kinds of things.
Joe does all these voices. Holy shit.
Delivers that line in a contemporary kind of way. So I did not know that was a different version from the film until I saw it on DVD.
All right,
I in Southern Jersey. I'd love to hear what he has to say.
So anyway, that's...
That's all.
I don't know what just happened
read
there.
Read about it. And I was hoping that when it came out, like there'd be some sort of anniversary edition, or when the Blu-ray came out, you'd be able to see it, but it's not. Or
so like we don't know if Joe's telling the truth, do we?
He could be lying. Although, but back in the day, like, you know.
What are we talking about? I think that's an editing mistake or something like that. I don't know. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Telling the truth.
Fast Times had
broadcast
a different.
Was, media.
If there was a different version that he's talking about.
Oh, we're okay. So Joe just went on for a good 5 minutes about a version he saw on TV that was different than, because it made such an impression on him. And then he saw it like on VHS or whatever, and it was totally different. And that threw him for a loop. And we're claiming that he's lying.
All the major stations had such pull, they would do that. Like The Godfather was shown in a special version. Like they would change him for, because, you know, TV was where you'd see it, not cable. But I'd love to hear also, like, I mean, we've all seen Carpenter at a horror convention, so like a Monster Mania in Southern Jersey. I'd love to hear what he has to say.
So
about
anyway, that's
awesome.
It's cool. My favorite horror movie, The Thing. That's all the reasons why I took up, you know, a ton of time doing this. But okay, so the flip side of this, and when we were talking about the topic to talk about for our first episode of what our favorite horror movie is, Eugene came up with the flip side of this coin of, okay, well, talk about what your favorite horror film is and what your least favorite horror film is.
What I said was like a movie that you at one point loved, either it scared you or you just really liked it, but it just doesn't stand the test of time. It does not hold up. You have since revisited it since your first viewing, and you know what? It's a piece of crap.
So, okay. So, all right, Eugene, since you go first this time, something you loved when you were a kid doesn't hold up now when you watch it, or when you revisited it later, it fell apart for you.
Can you say yours?
You just
I'll say mine.
Question, and then he for like He read. Oh, that's hilarious.
What, that we repeated each other?
Well, yeah. Like a duh, said, you know exactly what the topic is.
Is his.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what's telling about this is that I came up with an idea for a topic, and I must not have explained it well, because Joe gets the topic wrong, and then I explain what the topic is, and Joe's like, all right.
Then we'll discuss them.
All right.
Like, literally just say them.
Do you agree to those terms?
And then you're like, you've changed now the topic.
Joe, I know
you. See, I mean, looking back, this should have been the first part of the podcast, and then our favorite movie should have been the second, because now we're actually talking. Now we're actually having a conversation as opposed to reading each other our terms.
We're breaking the format that we started with.
Right. Yeah. We're like, we're veering off.
You two are going to gang up on me, and I'm willing to take that for the team.
Well, no, because you know what, guys? We've all talked about this ahead of time.
All right, so what are we doing? Are we going forward?
You're getting belligerent now. You're like, we talked about this beforehand. Stop lying.
Yeah, go. Say yours.
Nightmare on Elm Street sucks. The original movie sucks. Gosh. It needed to be remade. I'm sorry they screwed it up, but the movie...
I'm still not a fan of that. I haven't changed my view on that.
The movie does not hold up. It's not a good movie. All right, Brian, what's yours?
And I will say sequels... Especially like the...
Well, sequels? That's easy to say. Nobody likes sequels.
No.
You're really taking a brave stand.
The Jason Voorhees.
I think I was too drunk to remember my original.
You're like, you lost. Something's one of the sequels. You're trying to see Friday 13th sequels.
I hate the whole series.
What was a movie that at one point, a horror movie, that you really liked and you would fight for?
Oh, that's right. I get what just happened. So it's supposed to be a movie that you liked and now you don't like, but you went and just said, I hate Friday the 13th.
For it, and then you saw it later.
Like you always have.
And said, maybe one doesn't exist. And you're like, ah, it's crap.
It doesn't exist. Because I still like the ones that I liked.
Your views have not changed at all.
Yes. But those
Jason movies
I tried to get into. And I watched all of them because I'm supposed to.
So you've been consistent there. You've always hated the Friday the 13th movies.
Was there one out of the franchise that you...
All right, I'm going to skip ahead.
It's so hard. And then I guess just personally, like, dream sequences suck. And the whole movie...
You've been consistent on that.
You know, it's fun.
Yeah, and it sounds like... And I would do this a lot. And I think we would forget. Like I've already given my example. I said it was Nightmare on Elm Street. But for some reason, I go back to it. Then you go, right? And you say the Friday the 13th series. And then I interrupt and go back to my, which is just, you know, it's kind of chaotic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Funny. I think Beetlejuice is what Nightmare on Elm Street like tries to be. I'd rather.
Who made that noise?
I think that was Joe going, oh.
I mean, some of this might have been like, I know Joe loves Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I don't think Beetlejuice, I don't know. I don't know what I was going for there.
I'd rather sit through Beetlejuice. And like, I hated Beetlejuice. It's like, had the opposite.
No, see, I like that movie.
When I first saw Beetlejuice, I always hated it. I never got it. Now I watch it with my 5-year-old son, and he's enthralled.
That's crazy. My 5-year-old son is now 10. That's scary.
Terrified. And I'm like, yes, yeah. It's such a Beetlejuice. I'd rather watch Beetlejuice than Nightmare on Elm Street.
Out of your mind.
It's just so pretentious.
Hey, all right. So me and Joe, we would get a little heated in our disagreements as the Mobile Horror Companion went on, to the point where we would edit out because it would get nasty between us. Before the record, Joe was the first one to hurl an insult, according to this.
I can't argue with you that much. Well, I like certain aspects of it. I'm not a huge fan of the overall movie. Of course, I like the gore and the makeup of it. So take that out of it.
Are you being honest about Friday the 13th? I mean, about Nightmare on Elm Street at this point, Brian? Or are you just trying to take my side so we can argue with
Joe? No. I feel the same way. Like, all those movies that you and I grew, like, we were that era where, like, we were teenagers and they were videos and I was seeing them in the magazine. Like Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, it's okay. It's just okay. I don't think it's that great, and I don't think it holds up at all. But yeah, do I like Freddy Krueger's makeup? And
as a character,
part three
yeah.
got some awesome, cool gags, and as it went along, some girl turns into a cockroach. I mean, that stuff's all amazing. And I know, you know, I admired that artwork, but that's my point is I've never, you know, I've never been a, any of, like, listen, I like Leatherface. I'll give you that.
All right. So I'm going to do a big skip ahead.
Let's see. That's what I like.
Although I don't know what Joe names. We probably talk about this for at least another 5 minutes.
Thinking there'd be some kind of like commemorative edition, you know, 2014 was, you know, the 30th anniversary of part one. So I figured there had to be something out there, but there isn't. It's on Blu-ray, but there's no special edition, no anything. And typically what that means is the transfer onto Blu-ray really isn't that good.
Okay. Skip ahead.
Be to like where it's about the kill.
Similar to Friday the 13th or
Friday? Like just, you know, like my job is to kill people in a movie. So it's cool to have an interesting kill. But I would like to be involved in movies with a little bit more story behind those kills.
I think we're still talking. I guess Joe must have, maybe he picked one of the Friday the 13ths as the a movie that doesn't hold up quite so well. I'm not sure.
Because he's trying to really mimic the performance of the hitchhiker from the original.
So you love the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that. Oh, I enjoyed Bill Moseley's performance of it. But other than
this is us talking about Texas Chainsaw 2.
Already.
And that, like, the movie did not.
Episode one, we brought it up. Yeah.
Is that the movie he picked?
It might be. I'd have to back it up. I'm not sure.
Like the howling, like absolutely everything I saw. So I get Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And me and my buddy Jeff.
Oh, okay. This is it. Yeah. He names this as the movie that he hated.
Who lived around the corner from me, probably half a block away from me in our little suburban development in Borden.
Which is, I mean, you know, the thing about the weird thing about this podcast is that you and I happen to love Texas Chainsaw 2. And both say we actually prefer it to the first, which I know is like, it's like storm the Capitol weird.
Yes, we are inflaming people when we say that. But I think we're also proud to tell that's our like F you to every horror fan. Well, we like part two better.
Yeah, and I don't think we knew that Joe didn't like part two here. So we're kind of like, you know, I think we get offended.
Wow, this sets a precedent on the first episode.
Yeah, it sets like the camps, the different mobile horror companion camps that emerged.
Bordentown, New Jersey. We watched this on like a Saturday afternoon, and while we're
and the other thing to understand is like Joe loves the first one, like that's you know his Bible.
Watching it gets dark, and we both freak the fuck out. And the scene that I remember in particular that freaked me out is when it's near the beginning, and you know she's in the radio station, and the two like rich kids are in the convertible. It's like a Mercedes or BMW or whatever, and they're talking on their car phone, calling in. The one guy has like the hologram glasses.
She's recording the phone call.
Yeah. And then Leatherface comes in with the truck, and they kill them, and they slice the guy's head off, and it slides. Blah blah. That scared us to no end, and I don't even think we got through the whole thing. Like we had to shut it off. And it was like time for Jeff to go home. And Jeff was like, you know, you're going to come. I don't want to walk home by myself. You're going to come around.
That's Joe's did three impressions in episode one. His friend Christ. Jeff.
The corner with me. I was like, well, I'm not going to walk you home because then I got to, you know, when we get back to your.
Yeah, I guess technically that's a fourth where he's imitating himself.
House. I got to come home and I got to be by myself coming up the street. I'm not doing that. I just remember like arguing with Jeff over whether or not, you know, like how he was going to get home and, you know, like, and all that, and being like, we were both like really scared. And I remember that freaking me out. And that's one of those things that kind of like implants on you. And the only other thing that I have that's close to that is the first time I watched the original Evil Dead.
What I love about this is that, like, I don't know what we're talking about here. I guess because I fast forwarded, but I'm going to fast forward again. We're almost done.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
I mean, honestly,
you said two's better than one.
No. I think two is better than one.
I agree.
What? Both of you.
I just think it's livelier. It's got Dennis Hopper. It's fun.
I not only think two is better than one. I think two gets better with age. No. Every time I watch that movie, I like it more.
Oh.
I don't like the first one.
It's fine.
It's good. It's.
I mean, here's the part.
I might have been a little stronger on that statement for just that day.
It's fine.
It's not memorable like part two to
I,
me.
I remember seeing part two. I was probably with you, Brian. And yeah, it was one of those movies that was like, it was disgusting. It was tough to sit through. It was a do. I love part two. I love it. The fact that that the billboard, right? Because you read about
it. Oh, it's the Breakfast Club.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's so, oh, it's just a big F.
It was a Gore Zone poster. That yeah. was the.
It's a big F you to all 80s establishment. It's it's a perfect movie. And it's got Dennis Hopper. It helped Dennis Hopper get sober.
I'm going to skip ahead.
Scared by that. If it freaked you out, go watch it again.
Yeah.
Can't remember, so it's almost like his big.
Oh man, like I'm really going on at the end.
You know, you want me to do a sequel? I'm gonna make it a comedy.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was 1986.
You caused it, Joe. You caused it, Joe. You caused it by having the same expectations.
You know, I do think
you put too much pressure on him. When's Life Force? 85.
Life Force was 1985, and Poltergeist was 1982. So Life Force and Poltergeist were both before Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right now, Joe's thinking, what I get myself into. I got to stick this out every week now.
But part two of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's 12 years. The original was 1974. So that's so far after the first one.
Yeah, but you got to understand.
I don't know what I'm yeah-butting here. I mean, he's just giving dates.
He's so
bitter.
Well,
he made no money on the first one.
He's so
bitter.
Everybody wants him to repeat himself. So he makes Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And suddenly everybody wants him to repeat that. He makes Poltergeist, which is a masterpiece. But he's got Steven Spielberg screwing with him every bit of the way. Then he makes Life Force, which is he's trying to make whatever. It's a disaster. He's got no money to make what he wanted to make. So his Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is a big F you to Hollywood.
I still believe that.
Well, also, I believe that's been documented,
in the years since information's come out.
That's an argument that very well can be made. I couldn't make it that night, but I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah, I don't remember saying this.
That is totally pretty much true. Like, it's his... I think he's admitted, like, it's like his F you to, the way movies are made and capitalism and, like, how the studios were taken over.
It's just
an audience expectation and all that good
stuff. It's a masterpiece, Joe Recant.
I'm not going to recant. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you about all of that stuff.
The power
like,
of Christ compels you.
What I'm saying
you.
Is it.
Why did that scare
when
you?
When I watched it, it scared me as a kid, and it is a different movie than I thought it was on a second viewing, and it didn't work for me as well. So I'm not saying it's the worst movie ever made. I'm not even saying it's a bad movie. But what I'm saying is that's a movie.
Actually, you know what? I want to go back and I want to take Dawn of the Dead 78 off. I'm going to put Texas Chainsaw 2.
Jesus.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's not that good.
Anyway.
But when you watch it now, I mean, it doesn't... do you like it, Dennis Hopper?
I watch it and like it. I don't hate the movie. But just...
All right.
That's what the question was. Something that you saw that freaked you out and you came back to it and it didn't work for you in that way. So...
It's weird. There's audio feedback. Like I can hear like another. I don't know if it's feedback from. I don't
know.
You know what we're doing.
Sucks.
What?
All right. Sorry.
Anyway, so I would say that's a pretty good note to end on. But yeah,
Joe's laughing.
I'm sure all three of us hope that you have enjoyed this first episode of the Mobile Horror Companion. If you want to get a hold of us, if you want to send us a question or something like that, you can reach us on Facebook.
6 years later, we've never received a question.
We are the Mobile Horror Companion, or on Twitter at MobileHC666. Give us a topic. Let us know something you want us to talk about. I think this was a good introductory episode because it gives a good idea of what each of our sensibilities are, whatever that may be. But yeah, anybody else want to plug anything? Anybody else have any closing words for this first episode?
I'm good.
Godspeed.
All right, very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you soon.
So there it was, Brian. I mean, my impression is like it's incredibly boring, you know, the first whatever 45 minutes, but those last 15 minutes, 10 minutes where we start arguing with each other a little bit and we kind of interrupt each other and try to insult each other, that's where it sort of became a little bit
more compelling. That's where probably, like you said, that was, like you said, the beginning is the sidebars when you're on one side of the couch, the other guy's in a chair, but then you hear, oh, Chainsaw 2, and then the volume comes up and the entire room, it turns into the story for the entire room.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
yeah, there were some real direct reactions there, because I don't think any of us knew, you know, that we were diametrically opposed to Texas Chainsaw 2, and it was like, you know, my saying that, Joe reacted like I had just cut a fart in the room. You know what I mean? And then you could hear me getting mad at him, and it's just, I don't know, it wasn't bad. Like, I don't, you know, whatever, that was that. So that was our sixth anniversary show of whatever this is, the Mobile Horror Companion. So what did you think, Brian?
I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought we were all, well, it's hard for me. I mean, dude, it's my birthday. I'll say that. I'm hammered. I'm not making any sense at all.
No, you're making some sense, but you're, you know.
I mean, I get it. I get it. I get like that. And I never thought I'd scream and stuff, but.
I wonder what time we recorded that. I wonder
anything after 8 o'clock for me, I'm automatically going to be more tired. I definitely had a couple beers in there.
I probably came over to your house at like 11 a.m. that
particular day. Well, that's the other thing. I'll probably say this. We probably thought we were going to record earlier. Well, we did. And again, it's like we always have issues with time. And the more people you bring into it, the more, you know, I mean, for Christ's sakes, we were during a pandemic. We couldn't get anyone to do anything until 10 o'clock at night. Meanwhile, no one we knew was working.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. So, still trying to figure that out.
I'm sure we pre-gamed, probably excited to do this. Which I definitely was excited, but I'll be honest, man. And it does sound mean in this light of the world we're in now. But I think the only good times are when we argue about stuff.
Yeah, like, it comes never alive. Really gets,
you know, hopefully it doesn't get too personal, but at least, well, because that way we disagree. Like, I like when we disagree. You and I don't generally disagree. We might not like the same thing. But if we like something, it's like, wow, we both like that.
You know, there's like nothing. We're not diametrically opposed on anything to the part where, you know, like I saw the other day and like I started insulting him on Twitter and going after this guy, that SWO Productions, that's always the guy. He's always on a Pint of Comics when they do their Friday the 13th stuff. And he had this awesome, he's got a website, and the website like ranked movies. And basically I was looking through it and he ranked like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as awful in that general area, which of course, yeah, it's an awful movie.
Yeah.
Jackie Brown was in the same range.
I mean, that doesn't,
And immediately I was like, we got to get this guy on and just like, let's just insult each other for 40 minutes about Jackie Brown, you know, like I will get mad. So yeah, I do kind of miss that, the just getting like personally offended over someone's opinion of a movie, which I think is healthy. I rather,
And also, I don't know, because I like that they're passionate enough to back it up.
Right. And this guy's not backed down off it. It's pretty funny, which, you know, makes me want to yell more. So, but anyway, all right. So that's the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger. And this was episode whatever, our sixth anniversary. 6 years we've been doing this. So see you later.
Later.